Glory to God. Well, tonight, I just want to look at some foundational thoughts concerning the subject of prayer. Is that all right with you? All right. And so I have actually got four opening scriptures. So let's start with the first one, Luke chapter 18. Luke, the 18th chapter. Some foundational thoughts tonight concerning the subject of prayer. Okay. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 18. While you're turning over there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost. You said that he would lead us and guide us into all the truth. Father, we know that this word, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And Peter said that holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the same inspiration, the same member of the Godhead that inspired these things to be written down, he's in us now. And he'll lead us and guide us into the truth of it. Give us wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of you, Lord. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. And Father, tonight we look to your word and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. All right, Luke chapter 18, here in verse 1. And he says, he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, we're not going to read on down through. There's some other things there, but just that scripture. What was, in other words, he said he spoke a parable. He's telling them a natural story with a spiritual emphasis to it. But what's the main point? That we always ought to pray and not faint. What do we mean by faint? Not to give up. All right? Not to let things go. But let's go ahead. He said, pray. Pray and not faint. All right, our next scripture is Philippians chapter 4. And again, these are our launching pad scriptures, if you will. And how many of you know it's good to have a good foundation if you're going to build a building? And so we want to look at this. Philippians chapter 4. And verse number 6. Now, again, we could read more in these areas, but we're just going to read in this opening part here just one verse, two in another place, but we'll read one verse here. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, the King James says, or don't worry about anything. Other translations say don't have any anxiety about anything, but in everything. See, what do we do instead of worry? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, this is written to Christians, right? It's written to those who are already, born again, children of God, sons and daughters of God. He says there, we should pray. We should pray. I know years ago, I heard somebody say this, so I'm sorry I can't give it, but I had written it in another place in this teaching outlines that I have. And in relationship here to Philippians chapter 4, the statement, praying in faith will cause you to have a severe lack of anxiety, worry, and care. Yeah, how many of you know those are great things to have a lack of? A severe lack of anxiety, worry, and care. He said, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why would you thank God? Because you're praying in faith. You're praying according to his will. Look at James chapter 5, please. I'm going to read this from the King James and then also the Amplified Bible. James chapter 5, verse 16. Here we read, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, how many of you know we are the righteousness of God in Christ? So this is talking about you right now, talking about me right now. Now listen to this from the Amplified Bible. I'm just going to read the last part of it where it says in the King James, the effectual fervent. Listen to this from the Amplified. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. I like that. What happens when we pray? Tremendous power becomes available. Now, what's that power there to do? It's there to change things. It's there to work on our behalf. It's dynamic in its working. I like that. That's that word that, you know, you've probably heard in the Greek. It's dunamis. or a form of that, and it's like dynamite. It's that kind of power. Have you ever seen dynamite? You know, have you ever been around when dynamite went off? Or you know, back when I was a teenager and growing up, you used to be able to buy what was called an M80. You know, it was a little stick of dynamite, right? That's what it was, about that big, and that it had a, you know, it wasn't like a firecracker. You know, and this is not a firecracker at all. But you could light that thing, and you could throw it into a pond, and you could blow lily pads, bullfrogs, you could blow whatever up. I mean, that thing, when that thing went off, it changed things. And that's what this kind of power does. When it's available, when it goes into action, it changes things. Amen? And then let's look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Here again, these are just our foundation scriptures. If I had time to, you know, to teach the entire, let's see how many pages, the entire, well, I got 19 pages of notes here, but it takes a long time to get through them. And we're not going to go that long tonight. I'm doing a page and a half tonight, okay? But if I had time, every time we'd have a session, I'd read these four scriptures just to remind us to have that this is our foundation that we're working off of. Now, here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know. Do you notice that twice it said there? If we know that he hears us, whatsoever ask, we know. Not, we don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. We know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Now notice, what was it that gave us the confidence here when we pray? If we ask according to what? His will. Well, where are you going to find out his will? Well, first of all, from the Word of God, right? What does the Word of God say about that? Okay. Now, you know, some people, obviously, it doesn't say in the Word of God what kind of car you should buy or what kind of, you know, what kind of vehicle you should have or what that people want to get. But you know what? How many of you know God doesn't mind if you have a car? So is that a need? Yes. And the Bible says he'll meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All right. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and buy a car that you can't afford at the moment. You are where you are. Have you ever noticed that? Do you know you can't be anywhere else but where you are right now? Some people are always trying to be where they're not, you know. And you're that way, you know, you're that way with your finances. You are where you are right now. So it's good to start. That's my starting place. I'm not going to stay here, but that's where I am right now. So I'm not going to go beyond. I'm not going to do something. I'm going to where I am right now. That's how I'm going to operate. But I'm not staying here, glory to God. All right? Because I'm expecting God to increase. So with those as our foundation, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Remember, we're just going to say some foundational things, some basic things in this lesson tonight about the subject of prayer. Now, if you ever were with Brother Hagin at a prayer seminar, Winter Bible Seminar, way back in the days, 30 years ago, you know, over 30 years ago, we had prayer seminar, but then and Holy Ghost seminar, two different seminars, and then they folded it all together into one and called it Winter Bible Seminar. But he would always open up his sessions on prayer with verse 18 here. It said, praying always, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, Goodspeed's translation here says, use every kind of prayer and entreaty. Moffat's translation says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all manner of prayer. Now, doesn't that imply for us that there are different types of prayer? If he says all manner of prayer, Goodspeed says use every kind of prayer. So there are different kinds of prayer. Well, let's mention what they are. These are mentioned in the Bible. We know there's a prayer called the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith is when you go to God, you know what it is. You have a petition, you desire, you pray, you believe, you receive when you pray. The prayer of faith is something you only pray one time for that. Because if I believed I received, why would I go back to God and ask him for it again if I've already believed he gave it to me when I prayed? Do you understand that, what I mean by that? Okay. Now, that's what we spend time talking about, all these different types later on. But then there's the prayer of praise and worship. Brother Hagin, you say that's the highest form of prayer, where we're just there to praise God. We just want to talk with God and worship Him. There is united prayer when all of us would come together and pray concerning something. Maybe we'd say, hey, let's pray, you know, let's unite together and pray for, what do we need to pray? I mean, there's all kinds of things we need to pray for, right? But come together and unite ourselves in prayer. In the book of Acts, it talks about when they were all together in one place, in one accord. They lifted up one voice to the Lord, all right? Then there's the prayer of commitment. You know, we could call that dedication and consecration, where you could say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do. You know, I never read in the Bible where it said, okay, Tad, you're going to go here and you're going to go to this town, you're going to do this. And that doesn't say that in there for us, does it? We have to learn to be led by the Spirit, but we have to be committed. Lord, whatever your will is, that's what I'll do. And God's gonna use people. When I say use, you understand, work through people who have already committed themselves to His will and to His ways. And then we know there's praying in the Spirit or praying in an unknown tongue. All right? Then there's the prayer of intercession. What's that? That's when I pray for somebody that doesn't know how to pray for themselves or doesn't know. I'm praying for somebody else. Okay? And then the last one, we mentioned seven here, is the prayer of agreement. That's where two of us would come together as touching anything we should ask. We'll agree together in prayer and believe that we receive it. So different types of prayer, different kinds of prayer are mentioned in the Bible, okay? And we're not tonight going to talk about specifics on those other than what we've just said. But let's say this about prayer. Prayer is fellowship and communion or communication with God. Prayer is fellowship and communication and communion with God. In other words, it's a conversation with God. Now, how many of you know in a conversation, if you do all the talking, it's not a conversation. That's a lecture. All right? And I think sometimes, you know, we've got to let God talk to us. We've got to listen, learn how to listen. Okay? Just as we may have fellowship and on different levels or with different purposes, there is a difference in how we commune with God at different times. Now, all prayer, we would say this, is based on the covenant that we have with God. How many of you know we have a blood covenant with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ? It's been sealed. It's been guaranteed. And what God said, He will do. He will not break. He will not go against His word. All right? Now, as we study prayer, let's understand this. There's some things that prayer is not. Prayer is not trying to get God's attention. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. We don't have to try to get God's attention. Let me say this. God's not distracted. Okay? He's well able, you know, He's well able to be there with you and me at the same time. Now, how does He do that? Well, He's God, all right? We don't have to figure out how. We just know He's God. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent, right? Everywhere present at all times. And so as we fellowship with Him, we can have that confidence. I want to go ahead and start in verse 12 here just because I like this verse so much. I want to include it in what we're saying. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So can you hide anything from God? No. See, He already knows, doesn't He? You know, when we go to God and like Brother Greg was saying, when we go to God and say, you know, God, that you know, I'm hurting or whatever, you know, He already knows. He already knows about it. And He's already got something to help you. Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now notice he said come boldly. He didn't say come arrogantly. Yeah. All right? You know, you can be bold and respectful at the same time. But notice, you don't have to sneak into God's presence. We don't have to sneak in. He said, come boldly to the throne of God. I don't have to sneak in. You don't have to sneak into God's presence. It's open to you. Okay? As his child and as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, we have access to the Father. He said, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne. And, a lot of times we read this and we kind of use this as we come after the fact, after we've messed up. But, you know, it doesn't say you have to wait to mess up. How about if we go ahead of time and get the grace and mercy we need to help us? Well, wouldn't that be a different way to do things? Lord, I've got this situation. I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now for your grace and for your mercy to help me in this time of need. Amen. Things work. I've found that in my life, that things work a whole lot better when I come there on that part of it. All right. So praying's not trying to get God's attention. There's another statement we could make. Praying is not trying to get God to do something. Now, you're there in chapter 4. Back up to verse 3. See, I'm not trying to talk God. If I'm trying to talk God into something, I'm not coming according to the word of God. You see, I've got to know ahead of time that it's God's will, or I'm not going to come and talk to him about it. You know, as far as, now specifics, yes, I understand that. And you can talk to God about those type of things. But and let me say this, we talked about we're not trying to get God's attention. You're never going to go to God and shock God. You're not going to go to God and say, oh man, I never thought of that one before. God's never going to give you that answer. Well, I didn't see that one coming. No, you're never going to do that. God's never going to have that response, okay? Now, here in Hebrews 4, verse 3 says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You see, as far as God, the way God looks at things, now God's not linear in how we think of time. You know, we think of time as linear, right? You have a date of birth, and then you have a date of death, you know, and it's a line, seems like there's a line. But God is not linear at all. He is really more, the Jews look at it more as a circular time frame. But God said 1,000 years a day is 1,000 years. And he's everywhere at all time. He is always I am. Wherever God is right now. He can be at any space and time. And with the way God considers this, look, it's already been done before the foundation of the world. The work has already been done. Now, we know Jesus, right at the right time, the Bible does say, he came and died for us. When we couldn't help ourselves, he came and died. At the right time, at the exact moment, Galatians 2 says, and then it also says there in Romans chapter 5, that at that time, he came. All right? But God hasn't left anything undone. Look over in chapter 6, same subject here. We're not trying to get God to do something. Hey, God has already done it. Glory to God. It's a finished work. Now, that doesn't mean God's not going to. I heard one guy tell a person one time, you know, God's done all he's going to do about your healing. They almost passed out right there. I thought we're going to have to raise the person from the dead. You mean this is it? You know, God's not going to. Now, when you say that, what he's saying was Jesus already paid the price. It belongs to you. Healing belongs to you. But well, the way the person said it to him, it just really, I thought we were going to have raise the person from the dead because that shows shocked them, you know. Like Fred Sanford, you know, this is a big one. It's Martha, it's coming, you know. Here in Hebrews 6, verse 12, he said, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who, what? Through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, the promise has already been made. Is that right? And the work to provide it. So, but how do we get it? Through faith and patience. All right. One more verse along this line. Chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 35. He said, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Could we say faith there? Yeah. Which has a great recompense of reward. See, don't cast away your confidence just because you may not see it right now. Because you're not, like I said, you're not trying to get God to do something. He's already provided it. If there's any hindrance, it's down on this side of things. Praise the Lord. So prayer is not trying to get God's attention. Prayer is not trying to get God to do something because he's already acted, but prayer is communication with God. We believe and receive what he has already given to us in Christ. All right. Brother Hagin made this statement. He said, fellowship is the mother of faith. How can you have faith in someone that you don't know? We really naturally, we don't do that, do we? We don't put faith in somebody we don't know. I mean, I don't know you. How can I trust you? I have to have time with you. I have to spend time fellowshipping with you to trust you. And we need to have fellowship with God through prayer, because that's what it is, with God, so that we can know, we can trust him. But he has the reins that through fellowship with him, through talking with him, prayer would be our source. So let's look at Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Here in Isaiah 59, verse 1, Isaiah 59, verse 1, says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. You know, well, God used to. People say God used to, like God can't reach out and do that anymore. No, his hand hasn't shortened. He hadn't lost anything. All right? You know, How many of you, as you gotten older, lost a little bit of flexibility? Yeah. It happens. It's called aging. All right. But God hasn't lost anything. Okay? His hand's not shortened, and neither is his hasn't lost any of his hearing. Glory to God. He can still hear what we have. He's the source. All right. Look back in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. We read there in chapter 5. Let's look in 1 John chapter 3. See, prayer is our source. We go to God because he is the source of our salvation. He's the one. Salvation, all that implies, it brings healing, everything into it. God is the source of that. Now here in 1 John 3, 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Excuse me, hang on a second. Thank you. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We know when we ask, we receive. Why? We're obeying God. Whatever God's told me to do, that's what I'm doing. And I'm obeying him. I'm living to the best of my ability. If I get outside of that, I go to him. He cleanses me from all unrighteousness. I repent of it. I get myself back on track. And I go on with God. Okay? Now, the biggest area that we get off with God is in our love walk, loving others. Because that's what he talked about. This is the commandment, that you believe on the name of his son Jesus and that you love one another as he gave commandment. That's our biggest area, you know. You know, if you do any driving at all, you can get out of love real quick with people. I don't know how it is here in Oklahoma City area, in this area, but I know in Tulsa, I'm not sure the majority of the people in Tulsa figured out that there's a, we call it the blinker or an indicator, you know, on that steering column. That tells the other cars that you're getting ready to make a turn. I don't think they figured out that thing's on there yet. About half of them, because you just follow along and, you know, funny, one of our, I don't know if you guys know, Joe Dunnick actually got a ticket for not doing that one time here just recently, one of our instructors. Amen. So he actually asked the guy, he said, is it that slow of a day that you're writing tickets for people that don't use their blinkers? Guy just looked at him and smiled. All right, James chapter 4. Let's look at the first four verses here. Well, let's read 1 through 3. How about that? He says, from where do wars come and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and war. You have not because you what? Ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Now see, sometimes when you talk about Scripture, we haven't even read Mark 11:24. It says, whatsoever things you desire, that people think I can just ask God for whatever I want. But he said here, he said, your lust, your own desires, your own things that you're desiring. He says you don't receive them because they're probably not lined up with the will of God for your life, in a sense. Vine's expository dictionary said to ask amiss is to speak evilly or to ask with evil intent. Webster's Old World Dictionary said to ask in a wrong way, to be astray, to ask wrongly or faultily, or to ask improperly. He says there's two reasons. First of all, you don't ask at all. Second of all, you ask amiss. See, what's he saying? Don't ask at all. It's a whole lot easier if you got out. Let me just take it from you. I don't want to spend time praying. See, that's what covetousness does, right? It just gonna take it. I don't want to put the time in. I want what you got now. Let me have it now. All right. Well, we don't have to do that because we have got guaranteed results. Okay. There's a couple things there's three things that I see from the Word of God that guarantee us results. First of all, we can use the name of Jesus. Right? Right? John 16:23-24, Jesus said, In that day you'll ask me nothing. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. That's through prayer, right? Guarantee. He didn't say he might, he said he would. All right? Then we have the Word of God. Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me, John 15:7, and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. See, the word of God is our guarantee. If we ask according to his will, didn't we read 1 John 5, what did it say? This is our confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, well, how many of you know God's word is his will? Yes. Right? So we want to find out God's will, find out what his word says. And then we have the help of the Holy Spirit. He is our guarantee. I like what it says. Let's end with this tonight. Look over to Romans chapter 8. We'll end with these verses tonight. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 26. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. He is God, the Holy Spirit, and he's in us. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Infirmity is an inability to produce the desired result, just as a definition. All right? He says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints, look at this, according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. When we what? When we pray, when the Holy Spirit helps us, you see? Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit. So we have been given the name of Jesus. We've been given the word of God. And we've been given the mighty Holy Spirit to guarantee the result, that we have results in prayer. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We've taken this short time here to look at these things concerning prayer. And Father, I thank you that we can pray in confidence, that we don't have to come to you and like an outsider, but we come to you as our Father. We are your children, and we're welcome in your presence. We're welcome to have conversation with you. And so, Father, I just thank you that it's always that fellowship and communion is always available to us, and that you will not only hear us, but you also speak to us. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit that helps us and causes us to have the answers that we need. And Father, I thank you that when we pray according to your will, that you do hear us always. And if we know that you hear us, we have what it is we've desired of you. Father, I thank you tonight and give you all the praise and glory for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you are here tonight and you want prayer for anything, Glenn and Heather are going to come on up here. They're available to pray with you. How are they going to pray with you? According to the Word of God, and pray according to God's Word, whatever God's will says. And so I invite you to come up after, as soon as we dismiss here in just a moment, come on up and they'll pray with you. Do we have some first time? We had one first time guest. Well, praise the Lord. So glad that you're here, our first time guest. Amen. Miss Jane's going to take you. You've got a special gift prepared on behalf Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, Pastor Craig Hagen. So if you'll go with Jane right now, she'll get you that gift. Come on back. I'd be happy to see you again on the 28th if you could be here when I'm back again. So God bless you. Give them a big hand clap. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're here tonight. Amen. Rest of us, let's stand. Let's stand. Amen. Father, we just go. We go surrounded by faith and love. We go by your Spirit. We go, Father God, and we trust you to bring us back together again. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Don't forget, if you need prayer, come on up here. Otherwise, God bless you. You are dismissed.